Good afternoon. Would members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 20 members present.
Thank you. Please stand for the invocation this afternoon by our chaplain, Senator Getz.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's a prayer that's often said this time of year that hasn't been said yet, and I thought I would share it with the body for this last day. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as a pathway to peace, taking, as you did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting in you that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will. That I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
Thank you, Senator Terrio. Please listen to the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Thank you. Without objection, that prayer shall be spread upon the journal. That brings us to a certification of the journal.
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 120th legislative day.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the journal be approved as certified by the Secretary.
Thank you. Without objections, the journal shall be approved as certified by the Secretary. It brings us to introduction of guests. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good afternoon. I'm very pleased to be able to introduce to the body in the Ziegler's Gallery a constituent of mine and a new friend. She's a retired professor from the University of Alaska Anchorage in English. She tells me she's very excited to be here in Juneau in the gallery watching her state government in action. She's a big advocate for stronger university funding, and I think we've done a reasonable job with that this year. Please help me welcome Becky Turner.
Thank you, Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. President. With me today from my office is Jane Kasberg. She's been busy working down there so much during this session she hasn't had the opportunity to come up here. And it's her first time in the Senate chambers. And she said that it looks very, very nice in here. So I'd like her to stand.
Thank you. Further guests? Senator Stan at East. Thank you. Senator Bunch.
With your indulgence, last night I made some comments on the floor. I'd like to reread the letter that is now signed by the entire Senate. Dear Hal, on behalf of my fellow legislators, our grateful staffs, and myself, I'd like to thank you and your staff for sustaining us through the 24th Alaska State Legislature with fine food and gracious service in the state capitol. Every day we're greeted with glorious fragrances of cinnamon rolls or savory soups, familiar and exotic scents, that drift through the hallway and stairwells, nourishing the faint and hurried masses with the essence of well-being that comes from knowing something delicious is cooking in the kitchen. We want to thank you for your excellent management and extend our thanks to Cindy and Melissa, who deliver our food every day with courtesy and smiles, and to Tony, whose work in the kitchen is the foundation for all our meals. We are grateful for all you do in creating a safe haven and a welcoming atmosphere in the sanctuary. Our lounge, sincerely, the Senate and staff.
Thanks, Hal. Further guests for introduction that serve pie for dessert, maybe. Seeing none, brings us to messages from the governor.
Executive proclamation dated May 9th, stating under the authority of Article 2, Section 9 and Article 3, Section 17 of the Alaska Constitution and in the public interest, I call the 24th Legislature of the State of Alaska into its second special session at Juneau, Alaska in the Legislative Chamber on May 10th, 2006 at 11 o'clock a.m. to consider 1. subject of statutory changes for the purpose of clarifying or providing additional authority for the development of contract terms under the Alaska Stranded Gas Development Act, AS 4382. 2, subject of judicial review of challenges to the constitutionality of a law authorizing a contract enacted under AS 4382-435 or the enforceability of a contract executed under a law authorizing a contract enacted under AS 4382-435. 3, subject of establishing the state entity responsible for financing, owning, and managing the state's interest in the Alaska North Slope Natural Gas Pipeline Project, including provisions regarding indemnifications among entities involved in the management of the construction of the project. 4, subject of establishing a method for providing fiscal certainty for certain Alaska North Slope oil and gas leases not covered by the Alaska Stranded Gas Fiscal Contract. 5, preliminary findings and a determination of the Commissioner of Department of Revenue made under AS 4382-400-A1. And 6, provisions of the proposed Alaska Stranded Gas Fiscal Contract submitted to the Governor by the Commissioner of the Department of Revenue under AS 4382-400-A2. Message dated May 9th, stating, under the provisions of Article 3, Section 18 of the Alaska Constitution, I am requesting the opportunity to address both Senate and House for a joint session of the 24th Alaska State Legislature on Wednesday, May 10th, 2006 at 11:15 a.m. for a special joint session. Thank you for your cooperation in this effort. Those are all the messages from the Governor.
Thank you. Message from the House?
Message dated May 9th, stating the House of Representatives respectfully invites the Senate to a joint session on May 10th, 2006 at 11:15 a.m. for a message from the Governor.
Mr. President, I'm going to ask unanimous consent that the Senate accept the House invitation to meet in joint session.
Thank you. Without objection, will the Secretary please notify the House that we have accepted their invitation for joint session on May the 10th.
Message dated May 8th, stating the House passed and is returning the following. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 33, Suspend Uniform Rules for House Bill 16. Senate Bill Number 271, Authorize Highway Program Participation. CS for Senate Bill Number 300, Labor and Commerce Motor Vehicle Negative Equity Contracts. Message dated May 8th, stating the House concurred in the Senate amendments to House CS for House Bill Number 16 rules, thus adopting Senate CS for House Bill Number 16 Finance, School Funds Related to Boarding Schools. Message dated May 8th, stating the Speaker granted limited powers of free conference to the House conferees considering HCS for House Bill Number 414 rules amended and Senate CS for House Bill Number 414 Judiciary, interception of minors' communications on the requested specific points. Message dated May 8th, stating the House adopted the report of the Conference Committee with limited powers of free conference, considering CS for House Bill Number 414 rules amended, and Senate CS for House Bill Number 414 Judiciary, thus adopting Conference CS for House Bill Number 414. Message dated May 8th, stating the House has passed and is transmitting the following for consideration. House Concurrent Resolution Number 50, by the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs, suspending Rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 289, relating to the payment of insurer examination expenses to the regulation of managed care insurance plans to actuarial opinions and supporting documentation for an insurer to insurance firms, managing general agents, and third-party administrators to eligibility of surplus line insurers to sustainability of life and health insurance policies and annuity contracts to unfair discrimination under a health insurance policy, to prompt payment of health care insurance claims to required notice by an insurer to individual deferred annuities, to direct payment to providers under a health insurance policy to mental health benefits under a health care insurance plan, to the definitions of title insurance limited producer and of other terms used in the title regulating the practice of the business of insurance and to small employer health insurance, repealing the Small Employer Health Reinsurance Association and making conforming amendments.
Thank you. That's your lay on the desk to await the accompanying legislation.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 51 by the House Rules Committee by request. suspending rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E, uniform rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill number 251, relating to immunization for meningitis of post-secondary students residing on campus.
Thank you. That shall also lay on the desk to await the accompanying legislation.
Concur message dated May 8th, stating the House passed Senate CS for Senate Bill number 171, finance, effective date failed, with the following amendment. House CS for Senate Bill number 171, community and regional affairs, NPR, a community grant program, and it is returned for consideration.
That shall lay on the desk.
Concur message dated May 8th, stating the House passed CS for Senate Bill number 231, finance amended, with the following amendments. House CS for Senate Bill number 231, finance amended, House Budget Reserve Fund supermajority, partially failed, House Budget, Capital, and other appropriations, and it is returned for consideration.
Thank you. That message shall also land at desk.
Message dated May 8th, stating the House passed Senate Bill number 251 with the following amendment. Senate Bill number 251, amended, House, post-secondary student meningitis immunization, and it is returned for consideration.
That message shall also lay on the desk.
Message dated May 8th, stating the House passed CS for Senate Bill number 289, finance, with the following amendment. CS for Senate Bill number 289, finance amended, House, insurance, and it is returned for consideration.
That Senate Bill 289 shall remain on the desk.
Message dated May 8th, stating the House passed CS for Senate Bill number 305, finance, amended, with the following amendment. House CS for Senate Bill number 305, finance, amended, House, oil and gas production tax, and it is returned for consideration.
That shall lay on the desk.
Mr. President.
Senator Terrio.
I move that the Senate Secretary read across the House message on Senate Bill 169 at this time.
Senator Terrio, that motion's out of order. Senate Bill 169 is not in possession of the body.
Mr. President, under points of order, please, I have the transmittal letter from the House saying that the bill was transmitted. My staff member walked with the bill down the hall. It was transmitted to the Secretary.
Senator Terrio, the motion's out of order. The bill is not in the possession of the body.
Mr. Chairman, I challenge the ruling of the Chair. Under legal opinion that I have from the our legal drafters, it is a breaking of the rules for the presiding officer to not read across a message from the other body. That message belongs to the body, not to the presiding officer. Under Mason's 761.5 and 575J, the message has to be read across.
Senator Terrio, that motion is out of order. But the bill is not in possession of the body.
Mr. Chairman, under points of order, or Mr. President, that's not correct. Could we please ask the Senate Secretary if, in fact, the message for 169 was received
Senator
by the Senate
Terrio,
Secretary?
Senator Terrio, the Secretary is not entitled to speak on the floor. You're not entitled to give her a question.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion pending on the floor. Thank you.
Is there discussion of the motion? Senator French.
At ease.
Senator Stand at ease. Question for the body is, shall the Senate uphold the ruling of the Chair? Members, please proceed to vote. Has every member voted? So the ruling of the Chair is overruled, but I hate to tell you, Mr. Terry, the bill is not in possession of the body. The Secretary is not allowed to read, take action on the bill because the bill is not in possession of the body.
My main motion, and if I could just from the legal memo, under Mason's Manual 761.5, when one House has passed upon a matter and forwarded it to the other in a form provided by rule, the latter, as a rule, is bound to receive it. Under Mason's Manual 575J sets out a duty of the presiding officer of each House to receive all messages and communications when applicable and to announce them to the body. Thus, it is non-discretionary administrative duty of the presiding officer to receive each message on behalf of the House and inform the House
of the fact and its receipt and its contents when the message involves business of the House. I believe the Senate Secretary did receive that message from the other body. It is her duty at this time to read it across. We have a motion before the body to compel that reading. Thank you.
Secretary shall not read the message because the Secretary is not in possession of the bill. Senate cannot take action on the bill when it is not in his possession.
The records show that the Secretary is in receipt of the letter, and my motion is that she be compelled to read it at this time. I move that she be compelled to read it at this time.
Secretary shall not read the letter because the Secretary is not in possession of the bill, and we cannot take action on the bill when she is not in possession of the bill.
Chairman, I have a motion before the body.
Motion is out of order. The message, Madam Secretary.
Concur message dated May 8th, stating the House passed CS for Senate Bill Number 169, Judiciary, Workers' Compensation Records, with the following amendments. House CS for Senate Bill Number 169, Finance amended House, and it is returned for consideration.
That message shall be referred to State Affairs, Community Regional Affairs, and Finance Committees. Next item on the calendar, messages.
I have no further messages from the House.
Senate will stand at ease. Madam Secretary, I see no communications, no standing committee reports. Do we have reports of special committees?
Corrected conference committee report received in the Senate at 11:25 p.m. May 8th. From the conference committee with limited powers of free conference considering CS for House Bill Number 414 rules amended and Senate CS for House Bill Number 414 judiciary communications of a minor.
Thank you. That report shall lay on the desk.
I have no other special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 21 by the Senate Finance Committee requesting the United States Congress to change the name of a proposed federal fund for coastal plain impact aid.
That shall lay on the desk.
I have no further Senate resolutions for introduction.
Senate stand at ease, please. Thank you. Brings us to the introduction of Senate bills, I believe. See no Senate bills for introduction. Thank you on the last day. Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate CS for House Bill Number 109, Finance, an act relating to establishing a screening, tracking, and intervention program related to the hearing ability of newborns and infants, providing an exemption to licensure as an audiologist for certain persons performing hearing screening relating to insurance coverage for newborn and infant hearing screening and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. House Bill 109 is before its third reading, final passage. Is there debate? Senator Dyson, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Those who work in this field have been working for years to try to guarantee that our children, newborns, get screening. The testimony we heard, both House and Finance, about 14% of the newborns are not being screened. This will help to make sure that they at least have the option to do that. And probably the most important thing is the kids that the screening shows that they do have a problem. It sets up a process for following those kids and make sure that they, or to try to make sure that they get the remedial help that they need. And as most of you, I'm sure, would figure out or known who've had children, there's a narrow window of time in a child's life when language comes to them quickly. The child doesn't get a chance to get helped with their hearing problems, and during that period, that window is lost. And also, you know, other kinds of birth problems and birth defects are easily seen. Hearing loss is not. I've seen a father weep when he found out that his inattentive child couldn't hear him, and he'd been slapping her for it. This doesn't cure all the problems, and it may set up some bureaucracy that we're uncomfortable with, but it does help to close a gap for some needy children. I encourage your support.
Further discussion? Thank you, Senator Wilken.
Thank you, Mr. President. It may seem strange that I'm going to vote no on this today, so I thought I'd just give a reason why. Mr. President, I spent 9 years on Alaska Crippled Children and Adults on their board before I got this temporary part-time job. It taught me a couple things. One, how important it is for our youth to be able to hear at an early age. I know from my experience with that there's a network that reaches out for 0 to 3 before it's turned over to our school districts to try to touch these kids that perhaps don't that have hearing problems that slip through at birth. So I knew that when this bill started, and at the hearing that we had, I asked, we had a map, and I asked the department, and this was all the birthing centers in Alaska, I said, where are we not testing? And the department said, well, we're testing everywhere. And I said, well, then why do we have this legislation? Well, we think there's some that are slipping through. And I said, where would those be? Well, we think it may be some of the home births, but really our midwifery system takes care of that. So at that time, which was early March, I embarked on the request of people that were talking to me about this to just tell me that this was more than just feel-good legislation. The information came in fits and starts and from the department on May 5th, and that information essentially parroted what had been given from other sources. And frankly, Mr. President, it just didn't make the case. We're capturing the kids, we're touching them, and what this does is set up a bureaucracy that, frankly, I think that our state doesn't need. So with that, I'll be voting no, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Ellis, thank you.
Mr. President, is the bill available for cross-sponsorship at this time?
I believe it is, yes.
Thank you, Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a cross-sponsor of the bill.
Thank you. Senator Ellis, along with Senator Dyson, Senator Guess, Senator Kukesh. Further discussion on the adoption of the final passage of House Bill 109? Thank you, Senator Green.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I, too, want to explain my no vote on this piece of legislation. I grew up in the home of a very, very hard of hearing father. We now have a granddaughter who has an incompleted outer ear. I know hard of hearing and deafness very well, but I never wanted to be brought to my responsibility as a parent or as a daughter, as a family member, by a postcard from the state. And this sets up the bureaucracy in our Department of Health and Social Services that is over and above anything that is needed, and certainly our people who sponsor and who supervise at births and are currently engaged in multiple testing of different types of procedures for newborn will certainly be covering the vast majority of children in our state who are newborn and need this testing.
Thank you. Further discussion on the passage of House Bill 109? Thank you, Senator Guest.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, it was interesting 15 months ago when Carolyn was born, because really, when we become parents, as you know, you learn a lot of things that you never learned the first time. The idea of testing a newborn, I don't think I would have ever known as a parent to do, except the hospital comes in and says, oh, there's this test, and you kind of look at this little, in this RK 6-pound little girl, and you couldn't imagine how you could actually test for it, but they can. And the fact is that I don't think, although the senator from Mat-Su, in her knowledge, especially in the healthcare system, knows an incredible amount, I don't think most Alaskans do, and I don't think most new parents do. And whether it's covered now or not, I think it's important to close up this loophole, to give that information to the parents, and to take care of these problems early. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, the question for the body is, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 109 pass the Senate on third reading? Members, please proceed to vote. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please lock the roll. Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
14 yeas, 6 nays.
So House Bill 109 has passed the Senate. Senator Stevens.
First, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the final passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clauses.
Thank you. Without objection, vote on final passage shall be considered the vote on the effective date clauses. Senator Stanides. Next message. Hold on. Senate, come back to order. Hold on. Next item.
CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 133, Judiciary amended by the House Judiciary Committee. An act relating to incorporation of boroughs to annexation by local action and to regulations of the Local Boundary Commission to provide standards and procedures for municipal incorporation, reclassification, dissolution, and certain municipal boundary changes and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 133 is before us. Third reading, final passage. Is there debate? Seeing none. Question before the body is, shall House Bill 133 pass the Senate third reading? Members, please proceed to vote. Has every member voted? Secretary, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
19 yeas, 0 nays.
Senator Stevens.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the final passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the final passage shall be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Senator Stanides, here.
Mr. President, I place a call on the House.
Call's been placed. Senator Stanides, so the item.
CS for House Bill number 300, an act relating to the qualifications of the member of the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission who need not be certified, trained, or experienced in either the field of petroleum engineering or the field of petroleum geology.
Thank you. House Bill 300 is before its third reading, final passage. Thank you, Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I plan to oppose this legislation. I'd like to explain to the members why. In current statute, and this is a very straightforward bill, you can all see on page 2 of the bill that we're taking out this ability of someone to be appointed to the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission who you would suppose would be a person who's a member of the public who's interested in these issues, but not necessarily certificated or an expert in oil and gas issues. The judgment has been made in the past that there would be two people holding certain certifications in this field of geology. Different requirements for the other two members of this commission, but that one person could be a regular citizen that the governor would determine and the legislature would confirm would be an appropriate appointee in terms of their being intelligent, a quick study, dedicated to the public interest, that sort of thing. This legislation substitutes language that says shall have training or experience that gives the person a fundamental understanding of the oil and gas industry in the state. I think that's unnecessarily restrictive. I'm not sure a person like Sarah Palin would be appointed in the future. I don't know if we're trying to restrict things based on past experience. I think that would be a shame if that were the case. I just think that we should preserve the ability of the governor to appoint someone who's an outstanding Alaskan, who's a quick study and willing to work hard in the state's interest to this without this additional requirement. So for that reason, I'll be casting a no vote today.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Wagoner.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just about everything the minority leader has said is correct, except I'd like to point out that the word shall have training is there. It's permissive. It's not required. And the reason stated in our committee when we heard this bill for that wording was it wasn't so onerous that it required the governor to go for these qualifications. It suggests it. And the reason it suggests it, there are three commissioners, and it's a very important job that they do for the state, and so they would like to have somebody who is tuned up, who is knowledgeable in the oil and gas industry, and who doesn't have to go through a series of 6 months to a year and a half to become familiar with the terminology and the workings of the oil and gas industry. That's the main reason for this change. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President. Based on the remarks of the previous speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that we go back to second reading from third for the purposes of offering a specific amendment, that being amendment number one.
Is amendment number one been circulated?
I was just going to articulate it. It's a one-word amendment.
We Senator Stanidis, Senator French. Thank you, Senator French, for putting it in writing so we can understand it. Thank you. Senator French.
I'll now, Mr. President, move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading from third for the purposes of offering a specific amendment, and that being amendment number
Thank
one.
Thank you. Without objection to second for a specific amendment being amendment number one. Thank you. Senator French.
I move amendment number one.
Thank you. There is objection. Thank you, Senator French.
Mr. President, in addressing the amendment, the issue is really whether the person, the third person, what we have heretofore called the public member, shall have a training and experience that gives the person a fundamental understanding of the oil and gas industry, or whether it's merely permissive, whether it's a good idea. I think we all agree it's a good idea. You should have some understanding of the oil and gas industry, but I guess the issue is how great and how and can you be disqualified for not having that? Can you be disqualified if you have great qualities, intelligent person, hard-studying person, but who just doesn't know a downhole reservoir, doesn't know geology, but is certainly willing to work hard and understand that. And so I think this gives some direction, if you will, to the governor in naming his appointments and to us when we confirm them, but it also gives some flexibility for those outstanding individuals that exist in the public who want to serve, but who may not have that fundamental understanding, given that it's not particularly well defined in the bill. So I think this achieves the purposes of the speaker from Kenai, and it's I urge a yes vote.
Thank you. Further discussion on the adoption of amendment number one. Thank you, Senator Wagner.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just real quick, I did misspeak, and I'd like to correct that. Basically, what was said, it was not an overly onerous requirement, and therefore a lot of people would be qualified under it. But I did misspeak as far as it being permissive. Thank you.
Senator Elton.
Mr. President, I rise in support of the amendment. Just a couple of quick points. First, there's already an incredible number of thresholds that any appointee has to get over. The first is getting through the chief executive's office and having he or she make a recommendation to the legislature, which then also reviews the credentials of an appointee. And I would just note that while it's possible that a person could get through that process and not have a fundamental understanding, that there are, I think, in the neighborhood of 20 staff people that are available to help any member of the commission. So I think this amendment makes sense.
Further discussion on the adoption of amendment number one. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have a question for the amendment sponsor, and is that if this amendment passes, since it's a House bill, does it have to go back for concurrence?
I think that's a yes.
Senator French? Yes. The answer to that is yes. Further discussion and adoption of amendment number one. Seeing none, the question is, shall amendment number one be adopted to House Bill 300? Members, please proceed to vote. Has every member voted? Secretary, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
7 yeas, 13 nays.
So amendment one has failed to be adopted. Brings us back to third reading, final passage. Is there debate? Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just very briefly, I worked 13 years in the oil industry, and I don't know whether I have a fundamental understanding of the oil and gas industry as envisioned by the bill, because there's not much in the way of the bill to define what that means. I know a lot about surface operations, flow lines, wells, pumps, turbines, leak detection, fire suppression, and so forth, metering. I can tell you all about those things that happen on the surface. I know very little about subsurface geology, reservoir engineering, and so forth. That's what you need, I think, on the commission, are folks that understand how to protect the reservoir, because that's really what you're aiming at. But it's not defined. And so for those reasons, I think we've just erected an impediment to getting good people in favor of folks that, I think we're erecting an impediment in favor against getting good people, so I'll be a no vote.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Thank you, Senator Guest.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll also be voting no. Yes, I was thinking the other night, I'm a little bit biased. Rumor has it that my father might have done the legislation that actually put public members on boards and commissions. I didn't get to track that down because it was so long ago, back when your father served. But my mother was a public member on the Public Utilities Commission for 15 years. And she was the public member. She was a teacher by training. but she was also appointed by Republican and Democratic governors and approved by Republican and Democratic houses over that 15 years. And, you know, it is interesting. It's this language is unclear, as I think has been pointed out. But the fact is there are a lot of smart people in Alaska and a lot of hardworking people. And I'm reminded in judiciary, my friend from MATSU often has a saying, what about the potato farmer? How does he get on boards and commissions? And what about, you know, people like his constituents? And then I look around this room and notice that there's only three people that are attorneys in this room. And I think we do a pretty good job, even if we disagree on policy. So the question is, it's not the entire commission, it's one person. And whether or not we should allow the process that always has happened, I think we've gotten good people, whether it's Public Utilities Commission or it's this commission, we've always gotten good people on those commissions. The governors, regardless of party, have always nominated good people. The legislature has done its job. And we've said, we want the public to be able to serve. We want their ideas and their perspective on these important committees. And so I'll be a no vote, and I encourage others to be as well. Thank you.
Further discussion? House Bill 300, final passage. Seeing none, members, please proceed to vote. Has every member voted? Secretary, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
14 yeas, 6 nays.
So the Senate has passed House Bill 300.
CS for House Bill number 316, Judiciary, an act extending the termination date for the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar Association and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. House Bill 316 is before us, third reading. Final passage. Thank you, Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President. The recommendation that came to us from the legislature, from the auditors, reported a couple of recommendations. The process of looking at extending the Board of Governors for the Alaska Bar Association came to us all late. We were not given the time to be able to discuss the audit report, take public testimony, and with good background, recommend any more than a one-year extension to the Board of Governors, so that we could do so in the next legislative session. If this extension, this one-year extension, is not passed, then the Board of Governors has a year from June the 30th of this year to put its affairs in order and prepare to be dissolved. And rather than have that happen, and to give this body and the other enough time to take a look at the recommendations and take public testimony on the issue, another body has, we've agreed in committee that we should extend it for 1 year and give us time to do so. So appreciate your support.
Further discussion on the passage of House Bill 316? Seeing none, the question before the body is Senator Theriault.
Just wanted to make sure that everybody is aware of a longstanding issue with the board on the Bar Association. The fiscal note, I think, that came to the committee, and if I could find it here, my stack of paper, would show that down in the note on the fiscal note, it said that there was nothing reported on the fiscal note because the bar is sort of off budget. It says that it's not subject to legislative appropriation of the money. There's some question about the balance that they've built up. It's been an issue that time and time again, when Budget and Audit has done the reviews for Sunset Extension, has brought up that there is this question about whether, in fact, the Bar Association has to live under the appropriation powers of the legislature. If they don't, I don't know whose appropriation powers they do live under. The court, of course, really doesn't have appropriation powers. And unlike every other group in the state where you have to be licensed in order to take part in your profession for gainful employment, and you get charged basically a fee for licensure, and all of those other professions, barbers, hairdressers, podiatrists, the legislature acts as oversight on the level of fees that are charged and the cost that it takes to run the oversight for that particular group of licensees. And that oversight doesn't exist for the Bar Association because there is this question about, are they under the legislative appropriation powers or not? I think today I'm going to be casting a no vote for the extension, even though it's a short extension, to put them into the sunset year. Now, that's not the kiss of death. We will be back, or the legislature will be back, 6 months into the new fiscal year and be able to decide finally whether something needs to happen structurally within our laws to bring them under the appropriation oversight of the legislature. We may decide at that time that once we have this time to deal with it, and perhaps the judiciary chairman would see fit to have meetings through the interim on this issue. And again, it's been a long-standing issue that the legislature just has never dealt with. We may decide that we just need to extend them. We may decide that they need to rein in the fees a little bit because they're running about a $700,000 surplus. And maybe in negotiations we can get them to adjust their mechanism so that they're not carrying forward such a surplus. But it just seems like until we take the step of actually putting them on notice that there's an issue here that needs to be dealt with, it just continues to roll forward and it never gets dealt with. And I, for one, today will be voting, casting my vote, that it's time to deal with this issue. Thank you.
Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President. As a practicing attorney who has a 2-0 record against the current administration, I'm subject to the onerous bar dues envisioned by this bill. I just want to put my conflict on the record.
Further discussion on the passage of House Bill 316? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall House Bill 316 pass the Senate? Members, please proceed to vote. Has any member voted? Secretary, lock the rolls. Any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
13 yeas, 7 nays.
So House Bill 316 has passed the Senate. Thank you, Senator Stevens.
Mr. President, I move the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause. The effective date clause has been moved. Is there debate? Seeing none, members, please proceed to vote. Senator Davis. Thank you. Has every member voted? Secretary, please lock the rolls. Any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So the effective date clause has been adopted. Thank you. Senator Stedman.
Brief at ease, Mr. President.
General Stan at ease. Thank you, Senator. Please come back to order. We are on the next item, Madam Chair, Secretary.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 403, Transportation, an act relating to registration and operation of low-speed vehicles.
Thank you. House Bill 403 is before us. Third reading, final passage. Is there a debate? Seeing no debate, the question before the body is, shall House Bill 403 pass the Senate? Members, please proceed to vote. Has every member voted? Would the Secretary please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
And so House Bill 403 has passed the Senate.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 482, an act relating to harassment, intimidation, and bullying in schools.
Thank you. House Bill 482 is before its third reading, final passage. Is there debate? Senator Terrio?
Just to let the body know that the Senate Resource Committee, or Senate Judiciary Committee, did meet on this bill. I believe we made a number of good changes to try and address some of the concerns that were expressed over it. I'm sure that you are all aware of the recent incident up at North Pole Middle School, that I represent, actually the school that I graduated from. It was the high school at the time. And I believe that our school district actually does have a policy. I believe there are probably many of the school districts around the state that do have policies with regard to bullying and harassment. For those that don't, this passage of this legislation would make that a requirement. And again, I believe the amendments that were made in the Judiciary Committee made the bill much better. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion. Thank you, Senator Wagner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think this bill goes just a little too far. Basically, this bill puts in statute requirements for local school districts, and by that, it takes away local school districts' authority. Most school districts, I think, already have policies in their handbooks on bullying, so I'll be a no vote, Mr. President.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Guest.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just in response to my friend from the Kenai, unfortunately only 15 out of the 43 do. And I'm not going to go through all of them, but 2, 4, 6, 8. I have about 13 requirements that we have on school districts right now that range from state procurement preferences for Alaska recycled products, having emergency drills, ensuring that there's suspension and or expulsion for firearms, evaluation systems, truancy, school crisis response planning, and of course the famous 70% to the classroom. So we have taken on this role quite often. Some things you would say may be really, really important, and some folks would say aren't important. I'm one that thinks doing something and moving school districts ahead on bullying is very important. Unfortunately, we've seen the results from what bullying does in violence, but it's always been there, and we know just from statistics what happens with crime and what happens with dropout rates. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion on passage of House Bill 482. Seeing none, question before the body is, shall the Senate pass House Bill 482? Members, please proceed to vote. Every member voted. Secretary, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
12 yeas, 8 nays.
So the Senate has passed House Bill 482. Senator Stanides. Senator Stevens.
Mr. President, I lift the call on the Senate.
Thank you, Senator Stevens.
And Mr. President, I move that we recess until a call of the chair.
Thank you. Senator, recess for a call of the chair. Senator Stevens?
Mr. President, I place a call on the Senate.
Thank you. A call has been placed on the Senate. We'll stand at ease until a call is satisfied. Come back to order. Thank you. I believe we were still under our daily calendar. Daily order of business with HGR 36 remaining.
CS for House Joint Resolution number 36, Hess by the House Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, urging the United States Congress to support the granting of official observer status to the Republic of China at the World Health Assembly Annual Conference to be held at Geneva, Switzerland in May 2006. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the resolution. Previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Dyson, Chair, Olson. I have no amendments.
HGR 36 is before us in second reading. Senator Stevens.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that CS for HGR 36S be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, HGR 36 shall be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
CS for House Joint Resolution number 36, Hess, urging the United States Congress to support the granting of official observer status to the Republic of China at the World Health Assembly Annual Conference to be held at Geneva, Switzerland in May 2006.
Thank you. HGR 36 before us, third reading, final passage. Is there a debate? Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, thank you. Last couple of years has been the SARS epidemic as well as the threat of the avian flu. What this does is allows the dispensation of information, identification, prevention of these diseases throughout, and this allows the Republic of Taiwan to go ahead and have an observer at this World Health Organization meeting there in Switchman, so I certainly ask support for this resolution.
Thank you. Further discussion on the passage of H.J.R. 36? Seeing none, the question for the body is, shall H.J.R. 36 pass the Senate? Members, please proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Secretary, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So H.J.R. 36 has passed the Senate. Thank you.
Citations. Honoring Latsine Dolan Benson. Honoring Daryl W. Hess. In memoriam, Dr. Glenn A. Olds.
Thank you, Senator Stevens.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Thank you. Without objection, citations on today's calendar shall be approved. Thank you, Senator Stevens.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that today's citation calendar be brought up as a special order of business at this time.
Without objection.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation calendar be adopted.
Without objection, citation as a special order of business shall be adopted. Thank you. It brings us to unfinished business. Senator Stevens. Oh, pardon me, Senator Guest.
Mr. President, I unfortunately make the next motion and under doctor's orders. I move and ask unanimous consent I be excused from a call not subject to a call of the Senate from May 10th to June 7th for personal business.
Thank you. Without objection. Thank you, Senators. Further unfinished business. Senator Stevens.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate rescind their action in adopting Senate CS for House Bill 257 Finance, an act relating to and extending the pilot program for state procurement and electronic commerce tools.
Senator, stand at ease for a moment while the information is distributed. Thank you. I believe the information has been distributed. The motion before us is to rescind our previous action on the adoption and passage of House Bill 257. Is there a debate? Seeing none, the question is, shall the Senate rescind its previous action on the passage of House Bill 257? Members, please proceed to vote. Has every member voted? Secretary, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
12 yeas, 8 nays.
So we have rescinded our previous action on the passage of House Bill 257. It brings House Bill 257 back before us in third reading. Is there debate? Thank you, Senator Bundy.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask consent to go back to second for the purposes of a specific amendment.
Thank you, Senator Bundy. Go back to second for a specific amendment. Do you have the amendment, Senator Bundy?
Yes, Mr. President. I move we rescind our action in adopting Senate CS for House Bill 57 Finance.
So we're back in second reading with the motion to rescind the action in adopting the Finance Committee CS as an amendment. Rescinding action. The motion before us is to rescind action on adopting the Senate CS. Is there discussion? Seeing none, the question is, shall the Senate rescind action in adopting the Senate Finance Committee substitute? Members, please proceed to vote. Has every member voted? Senate, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
12 yeas, 8 nays.
So the Senate Finance Committee CS has failed to be adopted, brings back before us the original bill, which I believe is House Bill 257 Judiciary on third reading. Is there debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall the Senate pass House Bill 257 under reconsideration? Members, please proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Secretary, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
12 yeas, 8 nays.
The Senate has passed House Bill 257 on under reconsideration. Back to unfinished business. Pardon me, effective date. Senator Stevens.
First, I move and ask unanimous consent of the vote on the final passage of the bill. Reconsider the vote on the effective date clause.
There is objection. Move the...
Mr. President, I move the effective date clause.
Thank you. The effective date clause has been moved. Seeing no debate, members, please proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Secretary, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
12 yeas, 8 nays.
So the effective date clause in House Bill 257 has failed to be adopted. Under unfinished business, Senator Stevens.
Mr. President, I move the concurrence message on Senate Bill 305, an act relating to oil and gas production tax, to be taken up at this time.
Thank you. The question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendment, Senate Bill 305? Senate will stand.
Senate Bill 305, finance amended, and recommend the Senate vote yes.
Thank you. House Bill 305 is before us in the Senate, in the House amendments. Is there a debate? Senator French, thank you. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. President. We've come to a very important moment this evening. We are deciding whether or not to pass an oil tax bill without ever seeing the gas line contract this bill's tied to. The administration has been fighting me for a month now to keep the contract out of the public eye. Their desire to have us vote with half the information, I don't understand. It absolutely floors me that we would take this vote with one eye shut. I won't do it. This matter is far too important, Mr. President, far too important for us to do so without all the information. The House finished work on this bill last night at 4:30 in the morning. Can anybody be absolutely confident what they did? Have you looked through the amendments? I love the way they do work over there, Mr. President. I tried a little this evening, and I was a little bit embarrassed, but they start scratching stuff out and drawing arrows and referring back to amendments of amendments. I don't have confidence in that. No confidence. The thing to do, stand up, take a deep breath, say no, come back tomorrow with a clear head and a clear pair of eyes and a contract beside us, and then decide. It's a bedrock moment. It's a statehood moment. It's a birthright moment. It's a moment to say no.
Thank you. For a moment in the management of the debate, I would appreciate that members confine their comments to the issue and the motion at hand. And I would ask that you refrain from comments on the conduct of the other body. Thank you. Continued debate on the concurrence votes, the House amendments, and Senate Bill 305. Thank you. Good evening, Senator Wilkin.
Good evening, Mr. President. I'll be voting no today, and I'd like to tell you why. For three reasons. First, broad category consultants, the next timing, and the third linkage. Mr. President, I've had three, maybe five people that have a perspective, a worldwide perspective that I'm not privileged to have, and with my background, advise me over the last couple of months on where this legislation ought to go. Those people have said to the person, to the man, the 25% production tax will not be detrimental to investment in Alaska. A few weeks ago, I backed away from those people reluctantly and said, well, to get a deal, to get to where we want to be, I can be at 22 and a half. The bill we're considering today is 21 and a half. I can't support that. Those same consultants said there should be progressivity. They said the progressivity should be on gross, and it should yield an even or slightly increasing curve as the commodity increases in value. This bill doesn't do that. I can't support that. These consultants told me that the government take, we're well within our bounds to be in the low 60s for total government take. We're below the world average. We were competitive. We have a lot of charts to show us that. This bill is below 60. We're underpricing our commodity with this bill. I can't support that. Over the last month, the people of Alaska have been barraged with TV ads of all different sorts as a result of having an unlimited amount of money hidden behind secret groups to fund whatever you want to fund and whatever message you want to give out. And I can't fight that, but I have something those folks don't have, and that's a vote. There's been an effort, because it touches people in the interest groups, the focus groups that they have called together, there's been an effort among others to question the consultants. One of our colleagues that retired from the other body has been on TV more than I care to see. And the message is, don't listen to the experts, listen to the people that are being paid to tell you what to think. Mr. President, I'm listening to the consultants. I'm going to listen to them for the last 2 months, and I'm going to listen to them for the next 6 months. They know more about this than I do. I think they do have a dog in the fight. They think that their heart is with Alaska and with the Alaska's people, and I align myself with them. So my allegiance to the people that we've hired to advise us makes me vote no on the House on this bill. Secondly, timing. The speaker before me said what I was going to say. This bill was cobbled together in the middle of the night with all sorts of changes. Department of Revenue was nice enough to give us a spreadsheet today. They made 15 changes. They changed the tax rate, the credit rate, gas revenue exclusion, the progressivity surcharge, the progressivity tax cap. These are all changes between our bill and their bill. They changed the sunset on transition. They changed the base allowance. They changed the sunset of the base allowance. They changed the transition payment. They changed the spill surcharge total. The SB 185 credit is different. The fundable credits are now different. The IRC 482 internal revenue codes references in the bill are now different. The credit flow through having to do with FERC is now different, and there's something called an high energy fund established. Mr. President, 15 changes, and it's now only hours after that's passed. Do we really know what's in this bill? Do we really know what is being handed to us? Mr. President, this is a bill for generations. Don't we just have another day to understand? And last, the issue of linkage. It became apparent some month or so ago that this PPT issue was absolutely linked to something called a gas contract. And that distressed a lot of us, and we went along trying to understand without seeing what was behind the veil to make decisions that are so important, and we tried to see the whole picture, but we're only given a third of the paint. And so here we are. And now we have a judge that says, in his decision, he said to us a week ago, he said, this gas contract is so important to the people of Alaska that the legislature must see it in order to make the proper decisions on behalf of the people of Alaska. This judge doesn't have a dog in this fight. He's a Superior Court judge. People tell me we have one of the greatest legal systems in all 50 states. I believe nobody's argued that. I believe we do. We have to have faith in a judge that says to us, look at the documents in front of you and make the decision based on what you see, because he, like us, understand how important this is. But essentially, we've said today, no. Judge, we don't need that. We don't need to know. We don't need to see the whole picture to make a decision that affects a generation or two. I object to that. I see no reason whatsoever that we can't make this decision Wednesday or Friday or next Monday. We've got all the data. We need to slow down, take a look, and make sure that we're doing the right thing. So with that, Mr. President, I'll be a no on concurrence. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Wagoner. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, most of what I had planned to say has been said, so I won't be repetitive. However, when this bill left committee that I worked on it, we were at 25% tax rate, 20% credit. Each reduction in that tax rate is costing the state of Alaska and my children and my grandchildren over $120 million. So what we have reduced right now is about $450 million by going to 21.5. I can't go there. We heard from our consultants. We heard from the governor's consultants. We heard from other people that 25-20 was not onerous, that it was a fair tax rate, that it wouldn't keep the companies from investing in Alaska. And I'm not sure, but what the clawback provision that we put in there on the Senate side isn't probably the best thing to ensure that the companies do continue to invest in Alaska and maintain a much slower rate of decline in the production of oil from the slope and going down that pipeline. I admit, that's what we're about. We're about oil. Oil pays for about 85% of the operation of the government. And there's been a lot of pressure, been a lot of newspaper ads bought, a lot of things said and done. And they haven't been done directly to me, and I appreciate that, not getting that pressure. But today I'll be a no vote on this, and I just wish this would have come to a point where we could have no votes, where we could not concur, where we could go to conference and free conference as necessary and work this bill out like we do every other bill that comes across from the other body. We don't have that opportunity, and I'm sad about that because I think this is a good bill, and I do think we need the bill. This is probably the most important bill we're ever going to hear in the time we serve in Juneau. But we want it to be a good bill, and we want it to last for, the governor would like to roll it in for 30 years. I don't know whether he gets that done or not, but we want this bill to last and be a good piece of legislation and tax legislation for years. And therefore, I can't vote for this bill until we do a little more work on it and get it in better condition. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion on the concurrence motion to the House amendments to Senate Bill 305. Thank you, Senator Gass.
Thank you, Mr. President. I stood up on our version of the bill and talked about problems that I had with the bill that I was hoping were going to get resolved on in the other body, and a few of them did, and I thanked them for that. But two of the biggest provisions didn't, and it's unfortunate, and then they added one, and I want to talk about those for a minute. There's a safe harbor provision that we've talked about, and it was appropriate of how much do you make the taxpayer pay per month, and when do they have to true up. And we had changed that in our body to be an annual true up, which really means 15 months from the expenses. And said you have to pay 95% every month, and then at the end of that 15th month in March, you have to do the true-up. And it bothered me for some reason. And I didn't run the amendment on the floor because I didn't have all the facts. So I went to multiple CPAs, and they said no, the corporate tax says that every quarter you have to true-up, and interest starts after that. But we were told in testimony in this body and the other body, and in written form by one of the companies, no, we have to do it annual because that's what we do with the corporate. And I agree that we need to stay with the corporate structure. I did get a message back from the administration that says the person that testified was mistaken, that the corporate tax is quarterly and not annually, yet I couldn't get the House to fix that part of it. You might say, well, you know, it's all about what the rate is. Is it 22.5 or 20 or 21.5 or 25? And that is probably the salient issue in the bill. But there's a whole bunch of other details. And that one little detail means that we're floating them 5% of their revenue for 15 months for no reason. Not because that's the way the corporate taxes are done. Corporations true up quarterly. But solely because we didn't get time to fix that part of the bill. I talked a lot about lease expenditures when I talked previously. And I finally, with the help of the House Resources Chair, got to sit down with the governor's consultant on this. And he explained to me kind of how these lease expenditures are supposed to work. And I appreciate the time he took. Unfortunately, what he explained to me isn't what's written in the bill. I think it could be one interpretation, but it's far from clear. And so I went back and I listened to what he said, and not being an attorney, I tried to write out a very logical, not changing any intent, a very logical sequence of events. So we knew, even though abandonment costs are not included in direct costs, but they are in net profit, the NPSLs, and they are in unit operating agreements, that abandonment costs would be out. And we weren't going to go to court on is abandonment costs in or out. Unfortunately, and I think it was a timing issue, I don't take it personally, though maybe I didn't write it very well, none of those changes, not even my changes, that section didn't get worked on at all. So it is still a fact. As my brother, who's an energy litigator, stated, still a fact that that whole section is a jobs bill. It's a jobs bill for, I look over at my friend for the Matsuan Judiciary, for the playground for lawyers. And that's where we're going to head, unfortunately, for the very important section of the bill. Again, I don't think out of any malice, I just don't think we had time to focus on let's make it clear about what a cost is. Just like we're making it clear what the tax rate is, we're making it clear what the credit is, to make it clear so we don't end up in litigation, so the companies don't end up in litigation. To make it clear what is and is not a cost instead of having the contradictions. And again, abandonment is the best example I can give you. Where we have it in one place, but it's excluded in a couple other places, and no one says what the precedent is. Which one holds? And then in addition, the House, page 21, lines 26 through 28, put some new wording in. And I know this was a concern of a group called AOGA, and I actually thought their wording was quite good. But the wording that got in, and this is again, what is a lease expenditure? So this is the cost part. We got the revenue part minus cost part, as we all know, but for the folks that are listening, equals the taxable amount, and then we tax that. And so here's this new language. An activity does not need to be physically located on or near the premises of the lease or property from which the oil or gas is recovered in order for the cost of the activity to be the cost upstream of point of production of oil and gas. There's no testimony, there's no record on, what does that mean? Does that mean the engineer in Houston is in? Okay, maybe that's appropriate. Does that mean a building in Houston, an overseas building, because it's an activity? It doesn't say, as was actually suggested to us, activities in support of exploring, producing, or developing. That kind of makes sense. This just says an activity does not need to be physically located. And so I trust our guys. Our guys are going to say, nope, there's all these things that aren't included. And I trust that the producers will do what's in the best interest of their shareholders and say, no, those are included. And we're going to end up in court. Again, I don't think for any reason, but there are things in this bill that haven't taken the time to clarify that are very important to how this actually will work. My friend from Bethel put in a progressivity measure. And although, you know, I think he could have been a little harsher, but it was a good measure. It was clear, it was concise, it was based on the price of oil, and it was based on gross. Everything we know about now, no uncertainty. There's a very good approach to progressivity. The House not only changed it to net, which gets all these cost issues involved and provides more uncertainty about our revenue, but the trigger is $35 per barrel, $35 net profit per barrel. I don't even know how you try to model that, to be honest with you. and that's what I do for a living. We don't know the gas costs that could be taken off of that. None of that has been modeled. And so there's that uncertainty with our revenue stream that I think we've accepted, but now there's that uncertainty with the progressivity as well, which is unfortunate. I've been trying to keep up with the Cook Inlet, and as you know, Mr. President, for our area, it's very important how the Cook Inlet's treated. There was an amendment on the floor last night by the representative from Sand Lake. I couldn't tell you, and we haven't had any public testimony. Does that help or hurt? Are my constituents, are their energy bills going to go up because of that section or not? I don't think the intent was. I know what the intent is, and I think the intent was pure. But I don't know what the actual result is. It was interesting. I was thinking about it the other night, and I had my staff draw up. You know, what's the worst thing that happens if we vote no on this floor? We go to special session. I've dealt with a lot of issues in 6 years. I don't think there's been a year actually that I haven't been in special session. From cruise ships to phone wars. And I don't think those issues are important as these. For us to sit down, clarify the language. I think the rate is actually close. But let's clarify the language, make a clear bill that everyone understands, that isn't a playground for lawyers, that's, you know, clear for the companies, and that's clear for us. So I am voting no again on this bill, unfortunately, for the same reasons. And I would ask for your support in saying, let's take a little bit more time. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion on the motion to concur on the House amendments to Senate Bill 305? Thank you. Good evening, Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of this bill. Things are pretty clear here tonight. We have a vote to change our severance tax in the state of Alaska, to clearly move us into the future and away from the past, to move us away from a regressive system where we actually lose as prices go up instead of gain, and to move away from a system that's been in North America for decades while the world has moved away into profit sharing, rate of return, splits versus a severance tax and a royalty scenario. We are and have embedded in our system the royalty side, so we have here the counterweight to that, which is the profit sharing portion of it, and clearly profit sharing has some ups and downs to it. The upside far outweighs the downside, or it wouldn't be used all around the world. When we look at the difference between these two bills, Mr. President, we had before us a rate at 22.5%. Now we have delivered back in the other body a rate of 21.5%, which would appear to be lower, where we would end up leaving money on the table and away from and out of the pockets of our generation and future generations. But what that doesn't include is a progressivity surcharge. And once you put the progressivity surcharge on top of that lower rate that the House delivered, the state of Alaska is actually in a better financial position, not a worse financial position. And we've run the numbers back and forth over months, and at about $40 it crosses final Senate version compared to the final House version. And above $40, it favors the House. Excuse me, the other bodies, modifications to the bill. So as prices advance in the $60, $70 range, the state is substantially better off. And if we ever have the unforeseenable events take place in a world where we're at $150 barrel oil, we're going to be substantially better off. The upside far outweighs the downside. As been referenced earlier, there's been a debate gone back and forth between having this surcharge on gross, which has some positive effects, or having it on net, which takes into account the cost of extraction of the resources. I feel, Mr. President, that that's a good compromise. Cost to resource extraction goes up over time, as we all know it. Certainly doesn't go down. And if we want a tax structure that's going to stand the test of time for at least a decade and preferably longer, we need to have some system in there to adjust for that. And this will do that. The gamesmanship that may go on the using the net side will be counterbalanced by the individual companies watching each other, because as their share goes up in their partnership relationship, their partner share goes down. So it will be a joint effort. And we'll also have the IRS involved in the tax filing. There is some issues that we're asked to vote in the affirmative for tonight. The base allowance, where we could have $12 million worth of credits put to the state on demand, which is a cash draw on the general fund. That is a substantial difference from what came out of this body. We can always review that in the future. And if that becomes an issue, we have the ability to go in and change that and or even remove it. There's been some discussion on true-ups, on the taxes due. There may be some float gained from the producers, but clearly in the end, we're going to collect that revenue. And if that becomes an issue, we could also come back and address that. They're still going to be required to pay up to 95%, a minimum of 95% of the taxes due. And there are some other changes that have taken place. And I made one misspoke on that one amount on $12 million. It's a $25 million credit that could be put individually to the state that we can deal with if we have to in the future. So, Mr. President, when we look at this regime we're in today of a broken severance tax, it doesn't benefit the state of Alaska to continue on down the road with the dysfunctional severance tax on our books. We need to remove that. This piece of legislation is a standalone oil tax legislation. It's been viewed by many of us as a standalone oil tax legislation. It's been debated back and forth and around and around. And it cannot stand the test of time unless it's viewed as a standalone piece of oil tax legislation. And regardless of what comes at us in the future, we'll deal with it in the entirety of the tax package. And in closing, Mr. President, I would just like to say that the assets in the ground, these commodities, oil and gas, belong to the people of the state of Alaska. And this tax is, in actuality, a selling price mechanism, along with our royalties, so that people of the state of Alaska can collect their fair share of what they own in the ground. It allows the producers to make a profit when they extract it. And the whole focus here is to move us in to the profit-sharing arena to allow us not to maximize our tax revenue from the producers and leave substantial gas resources and oil resources in the ground, but to drive to that balance where we have both an oil line and a gas line, we increase our oil production and we have non-stranded gas sold into the market. So we don't have a 10-year time frame on our oil line, Mr. President, but we actually have a 30 to 50-year time horizon on the entire basin of the North Slope. With that, Mr. President, I urge support of this legislation tonight so we can move forward and set the state of Alaska on a steady, clear course for the next 50 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion on the concurrence to the House amendments to Senate Bill 305. General Stan at ease. Is there further discussion on the concurrence vote in the House amendments to Senate Bill 305? Thank you, Senator Guest.
Thank you, Mr. President. My apologies. I forgot that I had a conflict of interest to declare. it came to my attention between the last time we voted on the bill and this time that the Department of Revenue employee that, or law employee, that was part of writing this bill now works for the firm that my brother's a partner with. I have no idea if I have a conflict, but I'm just declaring it on the record. Thank you.
Thank you. Further debate? Seeing none, question before the body is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 305? Members, please proceed to vote. Has every member voted? Does any member wish, Secretary Locke, the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
10 yeas, 10 nays.
So the Senate has failed to concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 305. Next item. That is Senator Stevens.
Mr. President, I move to the concurrence message on Senate Bill 171, an act relating to the NPRA community grant program, be taken up at this time.
Thank you. Without objection.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendment to CS for Senate Bill 171 finance and recommend the Senate vote yes.
Motion is for the Senate to concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 171. Is there debate? Thank you, Senator Olson. Thank you, Mr. President. As the senator from the area that's affected most primarily by 171, there has been agreement between the parties, and I encourage a yes vote as well.
Further debate on the on the concurrence vote on House Bill, on Senate Bill 171. Seeing none, question before the body is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill 171? Members, please proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Secretary Locke, the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So the Senate has concurred in the House amendments to Senate Bill 171.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that HCR 46 be taken up at this time.
Without objection, HCR 46 shall be taken up at this time. For members' information, it is a title change amendment to Senate Bill 171. Is there a debate? Members, please proceed to vote. Has every member voted? Secretary, please roll off the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So HCR 46 has passed the Senate. Next item, please.
Mr. President, I move the concurrence message on Senate Bill 251. An act relating to post-secondary student meningitis immunization be taken up at this time.
Thank you. Senate Bill 251 is before us at this under a concurrence message to the House amendment. Thank you, Senator Stevens.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill 251 and recommend that the Senate vote no.
Thank you. The question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendment? Is there discussion? Senator Elton, Senator Stanides.
Thank you, Senator Bundy. Yes,
thank you, Mr. President. Speak briefly on the concurrence. As the author of the underlying bill, the additions placed on it by the other side or the other body are not germane to the underlying bill, and so I also recommend a no vote.
Thank you, Senator Elton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of a concurrence vote. I would just note that I think that we now have two good ideas. I think the original bill, as we heard it on the Senate side, made some important changes to legislation that passed last year. I commend the sponsor for making that change. I would just note that the change made on the other side, it wasn't germane, but they changed the title, did what they were supposed to do, and the change now provides that the Adjutant General of the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs can ask for, request that the legislature make supplemental appropriations for waivers and assistance to those Alaskans that serve in uniform. I think it's a good change. I would encourage a concurrence vote.
Thank you. Further debate on the concurrence, Senate concurrence and House amendments to Senate Bill 251? Seeing none, the question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill 251? Members, please proceed to vote. Has every member voted? Secretary, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
8 yeas, 12 nays.
The Senate has failed to concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill 251.
President, I move that the concurrence message on Senate Bill 289, an act relating to insurance, be taken up at this time.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I...
Thank you. Senator Stevens?
And Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments to CS for Senate Bill 289 finance and recommend that the Senate vote yes.
Thank you. Does every member have the concurrence message for 289? Is there debate on the concurrence message for the to accept the House amendment? Seeing none, the question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 289? Members, please proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Secretary, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
19 yeas, 1 nay.
So the Senate has concurred in the amendments to Senate Bill 289. Thank you, Senator Stevens.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent the vote on the concurrence be considered the vote on the effective date changes.
Thank you. Vote on concurrence shall be considered the vote on the effective date change. Thank you. Senator.
Mr. President.
For a minute. Thank you, Senator Stevens.
I move and ask unanimous consent that HCR 50 be taken up at this time.
Thank you. HCR 50, for members' information, it's a title change amendment that goes along with Senate Bill 289. Is there debate? Seeing none. The question before the body is, shall HCR 50 pass the Senate? Please vote. Does any member fail to vote? Secretary, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the Secretary please record and tally the vote?
20 yeas, 0 nays.
And so HCR 50 has passed the Senate. Thank you. Senate Standardese.
And I move the Conference Committee report on House Bill 414, an act relating to interception of minors' communications, be taken up at this time.
Without objection.
Mr. President, I move the Senate adopt the Conference Committee report on House Bill 414 and recommend the Senate vote yes.
Motion before the body, shall the Senate adopt the corrected Conference Committee report of Senate House Bill 414? Is there debate? Seeing none, members, please proceed to vote. Has every member voted? Secretary, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the Conference Committee report for, corrected Conference Committee report for House Bill 414 has been accepted by the Senate. Thank you. Senator Stevens?
Mr. President, I move the Senate recess to a call of the chair.
Senate's in recess.
I move that the Conference Committee report on House Bill 366, State Mental Health Budget, be taken up at this time.
Without objection.
Mr. President, I move the Senate adopt the Conference Committee report on House Bill 366 and recommend the Senate vote yes.
Motion before the body is to adopt the Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 366. Is there a debate? Seeing none. Question before the body is, shall the Senate adopt the Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 366? Members, please proceed to a vote. Senator Wagner. Secretary, please lock the roll. Would any member like to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So by a vote of 20 votes to 0, Conference Committee Report on 366 has been adopted. Thank you. Senator Stevens.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the Conference Committee Report be considered the vote on the Effective Date Clause.
Without objection, vote on the Conference Committee Report shall be considered the vote on the Effective Date Clause.
Mr. President, I move that the Conference Committee Report on House Bill 365, State Operating Budget, be taken up at this time.
Without objection, Conference Committee Report on House Bill 365 shall be brought up at this time.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate adopt the Conference Committee Report on House Bill 365 and recommend that the Senate vote yes.
Question before the body, shall the Conference Committee Report for 365 be adopted? Seeing no debate, members, please vote. Secretary, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So House Bill 365 has adopted.
We got these, Mr. President.
Respect the dates.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Conference Committee Report, vote on the Conference Committee Report be considered the vote on the Effective Date Clauses.
Without objection, vote on adoption of the Conference Committee Report shall be considered the vote on the Effective Date Clauses.
A brief at ease, Mr. President. Okay. President, I move that the Senate rescind their action in failing to adopt CS for Senate Bill 305 Finance amended and recommend that the Senate vote yes.
Thank you. The motion before us is to rescind action and failing to concur in the House amendments. Is there debate? Seeing none, members, please vote. So the Senate has failed to rescind this action. Senate will stand at ease.